Will Wiles, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Hello.
We have to get this out of the way. Where did this name creepypasta come from?
Well, it derives from a more general term, copypasta, which just comes from the words copy and paste, meaning any short piece of text or image that is copied and pasted around web forums and shared widely without necessarily being attributed to an author or a point of origin.
Where are some of the places that you can find creepypasta online?
Well, there are dedicated sites like the Creepypasta Wiki and creepypasta.com. They're also shared on more general forums such as Reddit and 4chan. But, Google will pull up anything. Tumblr has got creepypasta sites as well.
So what might be an example? There's one that you wrote about called the Unbranded Laptop. What happens in this story?
The Unbranded Laptop is a longer one. They tend to be quite short, and it's particularly creepy. A man finds a laptop in the basement of a new house. No markings on it. It seems to be slightly damaged. But when he opens it up, it works. There's very little on it. But he discovers that the previous owner was a little girl. And creepily, he can see recordings of the previous owner using the laptop, apparently playing games on it. Something was recording her. And he finds himself unable to stop watching these recordings, which steadily develop a much more dark tone. And it's suggested at the end that he may be merely the latest in a line of people to have fallen foul of the laptop, which, as I say in the piece, is essentially a sort of cursed artifact story, which is hundreds of years old, but with modern technology, which makes it very interesting.
The more a story gets shared, the more shrouded in mystery it becomes. What's that playing into for us as humans who love these kind of stories?
Well, scary stories serve a useful social purpose. They let us know which fears we have are commonly held, and we know that other people share our fears, which is, inherently reassuring, even if the telling of the story is very scary. As you mentioned, the campfire is a social experience, not a private one. So, there's always been great value to fright. Retrospectively, it stands to reason that this would be ported into the internet age.
This has become quite a phenomenon with sites like Creepypasta, extremely popular. The site does receive thousands of scary stories whenever there is a call for submissions. So who's doing the calling and who's doing the writing here?
Well, I mean, the marvelous thing about it is that it's all enthusiasts. It seems to be genuinely grassroots effort. It could be anyone. You get a real sense of there being very few barriers to entry, to submission.
But what does that mean for the quality of the stories?
Well, like anything on the internet, it varies extremely widely. I mean, and the majority are pretty poor. There's a particular kind of very famous story or even a genre of stories because Creepypasta invites imitation. But anyway, one of these popular stories is called Jeff the Killer, which seems to me to be rather unoriginal and violent. And yet it's extremely popular, so there must be something to it.
What's the story?
But it's about a psychopathic child being spared the attentions of a killer and then becoming a killer, I believe.
There are a number of subgenres within the creepypasta world, apparently. You found a number of urban legends. Maybe give us a little overview or synopsis of some of them. And why the urban legend works so well on creepypasta?
Well, I mean, the reason I discovered creepypasta was I was looking into urban legends. I was trying to find the origin of a particular urban legend. And I discovered that essentially creepypasta was a way of sort of mass-producing urban legends. It was as if the desire for urban legends on the internet, the readership for them, had exhausted the available supply. And they were having to be kind of mass-produced. People were, deliberately creating them and then sharing them. There's a lot of haunted software stories along the lines of Unbranded Laptop. There's a lot of quite basic sort of hack-and-slash killer stories along the lines of Jeff the Killer. There are some quite clever twist stories, there's one called Portraits, where a man is in the woods at night and is forced to take shelter in a cabin, and the walls of the cabin are lined with horrible portraits of these semi-human creatures, their faces twisted into rage, and nevertheless he gets some sleep, and the next morning he wakes up and discovers that there aren't any pictures on the wall, just windows. That's a kind of, slightly Twilight Zone-y kind of twist at the end, which is a lot of the stories try and produce.
Will Wiles is with us. He generally writes about architecture and design and is the author of one published novel, one upcoming. But in this case, we're talking with him about creepypasta. This is the internet phenomenon of sharing really, really scary, apocryphal stories, sort of, as he says, like what we look at as folk literature today, passed around on the World Wide Web. Another story that you featured in your article is called Bad Dreams. Tell us about that one. It's really scary.
Well, Bad Dreams is an excellent example of creepypasta because it's pretty effective as a scary story, but also it's extremely short. And the key sort of point about creepypasta is it's there to share. It's there to be passed around, transferred from site to site and so on. That's the measure of success. And so shorter creepypastas are, you know, more likely to be successful. And this is kind of like the best short one I could find. And it's only five lines long. It begins, Daddy, I had a bad dream.
I had a bad dream.
You blink your eyes and pull up on your elbows. Your clock glows red in the darkness. It's 3:23.
Oh, sorry, honey. It's going to be okay. Do you want to come up on the bed and tell me about your bad dream?
No, Daddy.
The oddness of the situation wakes you up more fully. You can barely make out your daughter's pale form in the darkness of your room.
Why not, sweetie?
Because in my dream, when I told you about the dream, the thing wearing Mommy's skin sat up.
For a moment, you feel paralyzed. You can't take your eyes off your daughter. The covers behind you begin to shift.
That is a creepy story.
That's all. Which is really quite, I mean, as a sort of like literary, as a sort of literary effort, that's really effective. You know, I mean, writing a short story, I mean, a very short story, requires a lot of skill. It's really excellent.
You point out that this is a leaderless, authorless movement. What do you think is the motivation then to write these stories if one is not getting any acknowledgement?
Well, there is acknowledgement. I mean, on the sites dedicated to creepypasta and so on, people are sharing stories, talking about each other's stories. You know, there's you know, food for the ego there, the authorial ego. What's just interesting there is the fact that the stories are, if they're successful, they're shared, and in sharing, often their origin is lost, and so the measure of success is to become kind of forgotten as the author, if you see what I mean. You want to kind of have your stories, if it comes from nowhere. And people are sharing it as an apocryphal bit of lore, not as this is a story written by, you know, X.
Is scary different in the digital age than it was before?
Well, the props are certainly different. I mean, you know, these stories are often bang up to date in terms of their technology. You know, they're to do with Wi-Fi, they're to do with laptops, they're to do with social networks, you know, Google Maps. But often their concerns are perennial, to do with fears of possession, fears of ancestral evil, that kind of thing, which could come out of, you know, the ghost stories of the 19th century or the gothic novels of the 18th century or folklore or myth. So in many ways, these stories give absolutely up-to-the-minute form to ancient fears.
Well, Will Wiles, thank you for the primer on creepypasta.
My pleasure.
Will Wiles wrote about the crowdsourced horror story website Creepypasta for Aeon Magazine. He's also the author of two novels, one, The Care of Wooden Floors, and The Way In, which is out later this year. For more information on his books and to read his Creepypasta article, you can go to wordofmouthradio.org. Now stay with us as we continue our series Rethink 2014 with a look into the design and surprising beauty of one of life's most mundane activities, waiting in line. That's when Word of Mouth continues. And don't worry, you won't have long to wait.